Is that all? It's all done?
Good to go.
Okay. Want to pass that out? Let's see.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of the last meeting, July 17th.
A motion to set the minutes as read. Has everybody got a copy? The second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolutions for discussion tonight, since we approved the minutes. Resolution 223, requiring the payment of a living wage to employers of contractors and subcontractors that provide services to the County of Ulster.
I'll move it.
Move it. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. For discussion, we have some visitors, but Carl, you... Go ahead,
yeah,
sir.
I think I stated in the last meeting, or maybe the last two meetings, that something like this would probably devastate our not-for-profits. But and I'm torn between the fact that over the years, the county has decided to get rid of a lot of its departments and contract them out. So what they've done, in effect, is got rid of high-paying jobs with good benefits and retirement and given them to contractors that pay low wages, hardly any benefits. And so now, as a policy of the county, what we're saying is that we want you to raise the wage of these workers, that some of them may have been at one time county employees, although I probably doubt it. I'm on the fence on this, but I'm willing to move it along the path and see where it goes. What do they say? Run it up the flagpole and see who salutes it. But I'm definitely torn, because I just think that what the county has done, and not only with its labor force, but with its buildings, too. We're selling off
with its what, Carl?
Buildings.
Yeah.
With its real estate. And not related to this committee, but now we're buying another building instead of selling it. So I'm torn. I want to see what other committees have to say. I don't know necessarily if this would go to Ways and Means or Laws and Rules, because there isn't... There's not a defined cost to the county, although apparently, especially not-for-profit, if they have to pay $15 an hour and only paying 10 or 12 now, they're probably going to bid for the contract next time to be more expensive. So I don't know how that works, because there it just says...
Well, that's how they have it routed anyway, don't they?
Yeah, ways
well,
and
government and efficiency would be next, and then Ways and Means, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. All right, we are government efficiency.
Right.
Okay, Ways and Means.
Anyone else?
Manager.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Didn't we... I'm a little confused about the amendment that we passed, because I thought we were trying to pass this but protect the nonprofits like UARC and organizations where... So originally the language was for nonprofits, and then we broadened it. And
well, we did a change it because we didn't... We only allowed very specific, if memory serves me correct, opportunities to apply for an abatement. We didn't list municipalities. We didn't list some people that we might not be aware of. So it was just amended to say that if somebody has a reason why they feel they can't adhere to this, at least within a 2 or 3 year period, that they get apply to the legislature for a variance.
Right. I think we talked about it as being put in the second resolve. The second resolve only pertains to county. I mean, one of the things are not-for-profits, if you look at their financial statements, they're not really not-for-profits. I mean, they pay their CEOs, they pay their employees, they buy real estate. They just are, you know, by definition of their 501c3, a not-for-profit. I've got plenty of not-for-profits in my town that make a hell of a lot of money and don't pay taxes. So I don't know, to discern between not-for-profit and profit status, I think I would not agree to give an exemption.
I think it's mainly Gateway and UARC that were, that, and I don't know how you protect
families and not-for-profit.
Right. I mean, those are,
and those are like
training programs, their job placement. But there may be a reason to exempt them, but I can't, you know, from all of the contracts I've seen, I don't know of others that really should be exempt. I support a $15, you know, I support a living wage across the board, and I agree with you, Carl. There's been a lot of outsourcing, and maybe more than there should have been, in terms of good county jobs. But I'm in favor of this. I just don't know how to get around that, and it's come up in our caucus, and so I don't know if anybody has any ideas about that.
You're talking about like UARC, the adults that live there that are working, and they live in group homes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be a provision, because you know, they, if they're not making the $15 an hour, but they're getting their room and board paid for, that to me could be a provision to get an exception.
I don't know that they all live in group
not
homes.
All of them, but some of, but the, maybe yeah. The ones, but if they don't and they have regular bills, then they should be covered under this law. I mean, if they're living on their own and you know, buy their own food, pay their rent, then why shouldn't they be eligible?
The only thing, Matt, I don't think we can think of everything, so there's got to be a way to address potential variances.
So just remind me what section that ended up being in.
Not-for-profits, page 3, number 9.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
9, resolve 2.
Okay.
Tom?
I guess my concern is, I understand the thought process, but my concern is that, you know, this is a wide variable thing. I mean, if the county enters into a contract with the Desmond, let's say.
With the hotel?
With the Desmond.
Yeah.
For people to go up there for NYSAC, do they have to pay all their people $15 an hour?
No, because they don't have a contract with us.
Well, I don't know, because, you know, but
I know you're
saying. But that's my point. And then if we're looking at Gateway and saying, well, there's the exception because of why. And, you know, then we're going to exception ourselves to death. Plus, and probably most importantly, you know, we go kind of crazy in the legislature because we don't know what something is going to cost us. Now, I understand that this would be something that would be extremely difficult, I'm sure. But, you know, I'd like to throw out a line with bait and say to family, look, if the domestic violence program you're doing, and we give you $50,000 a year, if you had to pay all your people $15, what would it, you know, what would it increase? Just, I'd like to have just a snippet of what it might cost. You know, it might, at the end of the day, it might be minuscule.
You know what the problem with that is, Tom? Everybody's going to say it's a hardship. Everybody's going to say it's a hardship.
But we've given them that out here.
My
concern is that we always want to know what things cost us, and I agree with, you know, Matt, I think that it's important, but I'd also like to have a little bit of an idea of what the potential outcome financially could be. But I'd pass it along, let it run.
Your point's well taken, but we can't do everything. We have to sit late, have a policy, then move forward, and if there's a lot of encumbrances, well,
or even, you know, to what point when we say contractors and subcontractors contractors do we mean?
Well, I mean, can I just...
You know, where does it whittle down? Where does it stop?
I mean, if we have a contract with Chase Manhattan, it doesn't cover the people that may be working in Caracas for Chase Manhattan. Only it's the people that we do business with.
Right.
To answer that.
But if we have a contract with Health Alliance to do our blood testing or whatever it is that we do, then you know that phlebotomist or who's ever doing that blood, they need to make $15 an hour. Now, are they making $15 an hour only when they're drawing the blood for a county employee? Because let me tell you, my wife deals with that at the hospital in Allenville with some people that do jobs for people as they're away. You know, that can be a clerical nightmare. So, again, I think it's a good idea as we look at it here,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to look at, does that exception apply, or how do we make Health Alliance then comply with the law that we've passed?
Well, I don't have an answer for that particularly, except
that's my
if somebody is in Ellenville, for the sake of discussion, the phlebotomist making $15, not just for taking yours, but taking anybody. Now, if there happens to be a Health Alliance person in upstate, you know, some other section of the state who doesn't deal with us,
right?
That's
but no,
a different
no, but
issue.
I'm saying our contracts with Health Alliance, I'm sure we have that with our CDL stuff
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth, or we have it through Kingston Works. And how do we determine, and then they have to then determine what part of their work day is consumed by that, where they would then have to alter, you know, that person's work schedule, not work schedule, but payment schedule. And so those are just some concerns
okay.
that...
I'll give you an example, though, of not per se how much the cost of the not-for-profits would be, but I'm a board member of Community Action, and when there was talk of $15 an hour minimum wage, we all thought it would devastate the program because they work with CSBG grants, and that's a flat rate of money that they get every year. Now, they contract with the county because the county gives them money. So there's some kind of contract there. Now, they're not doing services for the county per se. They're doing outreach programs within the community. So I don't know whether or not this
right.
would pertain to them or not.
But there's the waiver also option in there.
Where is the waiver option? The only thing is the second result.
That an exemption to this resolution may be granted with prior legislative approval to any provider of covered services. So if somebody can come prove there's a hardship, then they can prove it, then we can grant it.
Do our friends from...
Hey, you know, can I just say one other thing? This may also give us a better handle on contracts that we have. How many contracts do we pass for contract agencies when we just see them in a piece of paper and we don't really always know what they do? Here, if they come to us for a waiver, we're going to understand their business better. We're going to understand a lot of it better. I think it'll be a good educational thing for us, too.
Our visitors, you guys want to weigh in on this at all or have some comments?
Sure. Yeah,
just identify yourself for our...
Yep. My name is Chris Ludlow. I'm the political coordinator for CSEA Region 3. Fred Stefano, Jack Alster, CSEA members. We're here to express our public support for this legislation. It doesn't have a direct impact on us, but we do think that this speaks to creating better-paying jobs for Ulster County. You know, we don't know what these contract agencies are paying. We know in the past that the county has gotten out of certain businesses or services because they were quote-unquote too expensive. So you have to imagine that these jobs in the private sector are probably not paying too terrific of wages, likely not providing benefits, certainly probably not a pension or retirement. And we believe in the trickle-down effect in terms of if you raise these people's salaries to maybe $15 an hour, people that have two jobs might be able to go down to one job, so that's beneficial. They might have more money to be able to spend at local businesses. So we do think that the pluses do outweigh the potential negatives. Thank you.
You know, just what you were talking about... When we were thinking about all this, I thought about what's the young lady's name we hired last year or 2 years ago?
Brianne.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Developmentally.
Developmentally And I'm going, all right, maybe Jay said, well, how would it affect her? Because we had a contract with somebody to pay X. I don't even remember what. Well, I guess there could be two answers. One, pay the $15, or since we're doing it because it's the right thing to do and we're working with an agency that may not have the facilities at this point, we could offer a variance. I don't know, quite honestly, what she's getting. But with somebody that was something special, you know, I thought it was a better example than guys making license plates, you know, and the county
she
buys them.
Everybody
and
in it,
how do we handle that?
And coordinates their speakers.
So,
we
see once or twice a month. I thank you. And,
so I'll call the question.
Let's move the question. Resolution 223 to move it on. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. This will make for some very interesting discussions as we go down the road.
Oh, now I have to sign.
Mm-hmm. Under old business, resolution 319. Project labor agreements that are written into the law, into county policy. We had the purchasing director, I guess he was going to try to come, but I guess he didn't make it. Mm-mm. Tell us that they do review contracts, although there's only been one review in the last 10 or 15 years. But I think we all pretty well agree that $1 million is on a little bit on the low side. And we all wanted to have the folks in particular that are involved in this weigh in on it and maybe give us some sense of reality as to what would be a dollar amount. I mean, I guess one contractor projects are not really what we're talking about. Somebody's going to be doing a paving job. For the lack of any other idea, it's one contractor or a few people. But when you're dealing with the trades, so we do have at least one of the gentlemen from the trades. And if you had you wanted to talk with us about it, I know we did chat briefly. And
yeah, John.
Something that's reasonable.
You know, Manager Joe reached out to me. I got an email from somebody. I don't remember. Okay. And they asked me to come, and I met with the building trades, okay? And anybody in building trades, Hudson Valley Building Trades, we're made up of 32 trade organizations, okay? Old building and heavy highway construction. We're 14,000-plus members in Hudson Valley here, okay? Our jurisdiction for the Hudson Valley Building Trades is Ulster, Sullivan, part of Dutchess, okay, and Orange County, New York. So usually what I do is, Ken, how are you?
Doing well, Mike.
Good. So I usually just, I briefly, I know everybody, you know, and it's, I usually go out and tell everybody what a PLA is and basically a little background on it, okay? And what it is there's misconceptions out there on PLAs, and I don't do it because I don't think anybody doesn't understand it. I do it just to kind of clean the air a little bit. So if you award me that, you know, the time to read this. So a PLA or a project labor agreement is a comprehensive uniform labor agreement or a job site constitution, we call it. It standardizes contract terms among various crafts for the duration of a project. This construction employment practice results from the specific need of a building contractors to know the labor cost before making an estimate upon which their bid would be based on or to have available supply of skilled craft people for ready referral. One of the biggest misunderstandings of a PLA or a project labor agreement is that union wages drive up the cost of this project. That, in fact, is not true. New York State prevailing wage standards provide a level playing field for labor costs for both union and non-union contractors, and they force the bidder to include overall labor costs, including benefits, in their bids. One other argument people critical of PLA state that it limits the pool of bidders to these projects. That also is false. There are many reasons to why a contractor, both union and non-union, may choose not to bid a project, okay? These also include market conditions at the time, contractor experience, worker skill levels, and bidding procedures. There is no credible studies demonstrating that PLA itself is responsible for the decrease in the number of bidders or that fewer bidders translate into higher project costs. The PLA also cannot be said to promote favoritism amongst the union because the PLA applies whether a successful bidder is union or non-union. Okay? Some elected officials will argue that there is in no way measurements that the agreement actually saves money. The faulty conclusions they come up with is that since there is no precise measurement, the agreements must be avoided in the name of saving a fractional cost of administrating a PLA due diligence study. Recent studies have shown a potential 4-8% savings when a PLA is used on a publicly financed project. I'll use one as an example, okay? I met with the school board for the Kingston High School 2 years before that project. We had it laid out by all our experts. We knew what we could save, okay? The savings was going to be roughly $5 to $7 million on a PLA, okay? The school superintendent, he did his magic. We got, they didn't even, so they said, we'll go to a due diligence study, but we'll interview for somebody to do it. So they went to the due diligence study. We had Hill International, who's done tens of thousands of them, and he's bipartisan on everyone. Sometimes it shows a savings, sometimes it doesn't. Eddie Erase, local guy, Erase contract. Eddie Erase, one other man. Tens of thousands of these he does. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, okay? They picked the guy to do a PLA study from Watertown, New York. He did one study. They directed it right to him, and he was the highest, cost to do the study. Everybody else came in at $18,500. He came in at $22,000. They speared it to him. They have the right to award it to him. They awarded it to the guy in Watertown. He's from upstate New York. He did one study on a $3 million project. He came back and he said, you know, the fine irony, it was going to cost the city taxpayer, the school taxpayers, $4 to $7 million. So that was the end of that. Now, let's fast forward ahead. We're doing the Kingston High School. Well, it's all union. We have one trade in there that's not union. We still, even though we don't have a PLA, we promote harmony on that job because we have to get the job done at the end of the day. Tommy Clapper just came out with a statement the other day. There's one piece of the puzzle that is behind schedule by 3 weeks. It's actually longer than that. And that is the Kate Walton Fieldhouse. That's Optimist Contracting. They're a non-union. They don't play by the rules. The construction manager doesn't like them, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, the rest of our guys, we monitor that project. You know, we make sure everybody is doing what they need to do to bring that thing on time, on budget, and make everybody happy, you know, and keep it cohesive across the board. But anyway, the number of bidders or fewer bidders translate into a higher cost project cost is what they're trying to say. The PLA also cannot be said to promote favoritism because, once again, we do not go with just the union or the non-union, or the union. They go with the non-union. So when a project is large and complex and may involve a number of trades and craft, both union and non-union, in unpredictable economic climate, a PLA allows for workplace harmony, coordination amongst the trades, rapid dispute resolution, qualified workers, and apprenticeship opportunities. And most important, a PLA is the only way to guarantee local labor is going to be used on the project. With the help of Mike Hine, the county exec, and you, the Ulster County legislators, we're actually moving ahead with the family court PLA right now. So that's becoming a reality. But the building trades also realizes that analyzing historical data on the use of PLAs in the region, okay, and speaking with firms and consulting with them, which is Hill International, Erase, and two other ones, which we don't get involved with too much. They're usually the guys that take the limelight all the time. They came back and with the feasibility studies in order to determine cost savings to potential projects, the current threshold of $1 million of resolution number 319 should be changed to $3.5 million so it may facilitate a more cost-effective finding and serve the best interest of the Ulster County taxpayers.
So you and your folks are saying 3.5.
We're saying 3.5. And John, just so you know, we've talked amongst ourselves too down there, and we talked with Erase and we had Hill in there. We spoke with everybody.
Now, Erase, is that like Erase Appliances?
No.
Okay.
You know what? I know something. Eddie Erase actually, his family owned Erase Electronics.
That's right.
Yeah. And he went on to do a different thing.
But
you know?
Now it's huh? Now it's not him anymore.
No.
Mr. Carey.
No, but, yeah, I mean,
Mr.
the name's
Carey.
The name, you know. I,
so everybody was talking. We said, let's get this out. If we could, if you get it out in front, you know. Me and John have spoke about it. You know, I speak with Mike and Mark in the purchasing all the time. We've been going through this for over a year. And, you know, we tell everybody, if you're going to spend $18,000 to $25,000 in that range for a BLA study, all right, a feasibility study, the juice has to be worth the squeeze. So, you know, right now you got $1 million on your threshold. So, you know, you go do a study at $20,000 on $1 million, you know, we just threw $20,000 out the window. We're not going to show a cost savings on $1 million. 3.5, I can show it. There's no issue for me there. I know it. I have stuff to back that up. That's not an issue. We were talking, but we said Ulster County, as it's pushing from Rockland County to Orange County, it's coming this way. Okay? We said eventually, if 3.5 is not working, let's all come back again and let's see what we can do. Let's make it fit. You know, we don't want to, nobody in construction wants to waste taxpayers' money on a PLA study that's not going to work. You know, if it doesn't work, you know, I live here too. You know, I live in Kingston too. You know, I mean, I don't want to pick the paper up and go, we just flushed $20,000 down the table, you know, or down the toilet. I knew it wasn't going to work. You know, I've been in discussions with Mike and Mark about the rail trail, you know, coming up, you know, and we were talking about that. We're going back and forth. I've talked to John extensively on that.
Yep.
You know, I'm finding out right now we have apprenticeship language, okay? The problem I always have and I always will have with the apprenticeship language, which, you know, I pretty much designed, but the problem I'm having is that there's unscrupulous programs out there that people buy in at $9,000 to, and then they never graduate or they never even have an apprentice. Merit Alliance, ABC out of upstate New York, and they bring a lot of guys down from the Albany area into this area. We talked about apprenticeship language in lieu of PLAs. The problem is that loophole exists with that apprenticeship language. Unless definitive language is in the apprenticeship language, and it clearly states that the approved apprenticeship language has to show that that program has a graduation rate. And I'm not saying 20%, I'm saying 5%. You show me 5%, I mean, the unions, I graduate 30 guys a year. So it's nothing for me. I know what the laborer does, I know what the iron worker does. You know, we all have massive schools for this. But the Merit Alliance and the ABC, they just don't do it. So when they sign on to an apprenticeship program, it's actually, you know, pardon my French, it's a horse shit, you know, program. That's what it is. So, you know, the PLAs always work. Once again, union or non-union. I've had PLAs where the prime was a non-union contractor. I gotta tell you something. You know what he said to me? I bid the job. I'm comfortable with my number. I have to pay the prevailing. You know what? Why am I gonna pay per diem, bring all these guys out of Saratoga and Rochester, house them here, pay that extra money, and they're gonna get... You guys have a skilled workforce. Do you know there's actual instances where I have an easier time with a non-union contractor coming here and me putting guys with them, and then I have a drag-along clause. I never eliminate his people. If he has 3 or 4 key guys, I have what is a drag-along. I'll drag them along to make it a more efficient workforce for him also. So I never leave him out in the lark, you know? I have guys that come down and go, well, it's my key guy on this, or it's my key foreman, or it's our push man. Okay, we get it. Bring them down, you know? And we're going to bring a ton of local guys. Kingston High School right now, okay, I told Paul Patalino, I told that board, that's going to be a local job. I have it all situated. I have it all planned out. I'm thinking way ahead, all right? And do you want to know something? Despite them not going with a PLA, and we're in there. And you want to know something? We're in there. There's no cost savings going on there right now. Jimmy Shaughnessy is working up all the numbers. That guy is unbelievable. I got to hire that guy. And he's showing where, right now, I think they're over $980,000 they could have saved money on so far, just if they had PLA. But, you know, we have, I have 71 men there on that construction site. Okay, out of those 71 guys, 53 of those guys live in Ulster County. 26 of them live in Kingston. You want to know something? You know what they say? This is unbelievable. I've been here for 2 years. I leave on Foxhall Avenue, drive up the street. Two guys were riding their mountain bikes. Now that's making money. Now they're making money. They're no longer driving to the Tappan Zee Bridge. They're no longer driving to the tunnel project or CPV or some big project. You know, I'm talking local guys on local jobs.
Watch your kids little league.
You want to know something? Yeah, I got to tell you, it's guys are having it. It is. It's a quality of life thing.
Do you think the 3.5 will last a while, knowing there's pressures from other areas?
I actually said that to Ed, and Eddie says yes. And he said, if it doesn't, Eddie, erase.
Oh, I got you.
I spoke to Ed, you know, and I got to tell you something. He even said, that's the beautiful thing about this. Let's say we're moving along and it's just not going to fit. You know what? And I'm honest with Mark Ryder. Mark Ryder will come to me with a project and ask me, and I'll go check that out. And I'll tell him straight to his face, I can't show a cost savings here. And I know it. And I'll tell him. And he'll go, thank you.
Well, that's the other thing I just wanted to ask you quickly about. 3.5 on some projects would be a waste of time, correct?
3.5, let's put it this way. 3.5 on a road project? Yeah, because you're limited to two trades, the laborers and the operators.
So if we recraft it, we should think about recrafting
multi-trade.
Something.
Multi-trade. I tell you what, the city of Kingston, I just met with everybody there in the Common Council, okay? I have infrastructure at $100,000, okay? And then I have building was $100,000. I got with the mayor. We increased the building to $350,000 because bids were coming in at $112,000 to put a new roof on. And we were eliminating guys from it. They just couldn't get the guys to bid it, you know? So we had to start going. And I would imagine we're going to be back in discussions in another year on that number, you know? So there is ways to do it, to separate it, you know?
Well, if it's suddenly now in place, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
You haven't talked about it in
15 years,
right?
Yeah, everybody.
So now everybody's into it and
well,
it changes.
You know, it's funny because when I first came in, I mean, I replaced Sonny, you know? And I was with Sonny all the time. I had all this information. When I came in, they were like, "Ah, what do you mean Resolution 319? What are you talking about?" And Bobby Sudlow called me up and says, "Hey, you're right. Here it is." You know?
Can I just ask a question?
You got it. German Mike, wrong here.
I'm big into not reinventing the wheel. Is there a document that you've seen somewhere that you'd say is the best one when it comes to PLA policies? I'm saying another county. Does another county have a policy that...
Oh, Rockland,
you know,
County has the best language of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Rockland County is unbelievable. But Orange County, you know what? We've really turned a corner at Orange County, you know. I tell you how good it is in Orange County right now. Warwick Bus Garage came up. They didn't have to do a due diligence or ask for a PLA. You know what they called us and said? Well, no, we're putting a PLA on that job. And we went, it's $800,000 job. And they go, we don't care. We want it. Do you want to know something? They saved themselves $71,000.
Yeah.
But it was $71,000, you know? I mean, it's crazy. Some people will fight you on a $20 million job. And here you got Warwick, you know, school system begging us to come and do a PLA study.
I guess the chairman wants to...
Well, we'll look at that.
Where Jay and I did our due diligence over 7 days, you want to get the Rockland County
right? Just the chairman.
Rockland has some of the strongest language for everything. I mean,
right. Apprenticeship. Anybody want to?
No, I think it sounds good. Yeah. I follow Mike's lead.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to talk a little bit about the PLA for the family court because you may not be here when I bring this up. Not the PLA, but that construction project. From my perspective, we have an opportunity to put solar on top of that building. I asked for an analysis, cost-benefit analysis of what, because right now the consultants are recommending against that, and yet the roof itself would hold it. They did an engineering study, and it's strong enough. But some of the support to that would need to be reinforced. But they didn't do a full cost-benefit analysis because they didn't look at the revenue that would be generated once the solar system was put up. They didn't look at the full life cycle analysis. Mm-hmm. They just said there would be extra cost. They didn't say how much extra cost, just that there would be extra cost. So, you know, I'm going to raise this issue because the climate crisis is exacerbating faster than we expected it to. And I just feel like we have to be really proactive. We have to be reasonable, and we have to be cost-effective. But if you don't look at that, the potential savings from the electricity that that system could be generating for that building or for the grid, you're not really looking at the whole thing. And I don't often get a chance to speak with you guys, and it's not about the PLA so much as
your design.
The design of that project. So I just wanted to take a moment.
Yeah, I don't know why they include what they include. You know, I've had places where I show up and, you know, they say you guys are building this, and we just look at them like, well, what about this? And, you know, and then I tell all my guys, be quiet. You know, we're just the bees.
They're looking at it like there's only a finite amount of space on that roof.
Yeah.
Now, to give an example, in the town of Esopus, on our transfer station, we've got like 5 times the square footage in solar panels, and we're only generating 1 megawatt worth of power.
Oh, that's great.
All right, well, it's one, you know, so what could you do on that building to generate, and would it be cost efficient, the money you put into it and the money you're going to get back or sell to the grid or whatever? Maybe it's not cost effective. I mean, I know they didn't do it cost effective.
But that would be up to the executive and his engineers, not
big up to money, too.
But I specifically asked for a cost benefit analysis.
Well, they should give it to you.
And they stopped short. They said,
we're policy, we're not operations. You can't tell them to do something unless it's a policy of the county. And that's the 23 legislators have to agree.
All right, but my point, just to wrap this up, my point is I made the request, they provided the information, and it wasn't complete because they didn't look at the potential savings from generating.
They don't want to do it, they won't do it.
They didn't put a dollar to
it.
They just said it would cost more.
Yeah, you know what? And they should be able to put a dollar to it.
Okay.
If they do it.
If I might.
Enough. I'm sorry.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We're not quite done, but
with my own ears.
With the PLA thing, we'll work together, get a hold of Rockland County, and
you know what? Anywhere else. Orange first, though, because, you know, Orange is PLA language. I'm talking overall language, like for everything. Okay. You know, Rockland is cornered to market, but you're taking everything out of the boroughs from up to Rockland. You know what I mean? We're just following Westchester and everybody else.
Well, but we'll do that and then prepare something that will make sure that, you know, everyone sees and is hopefully satisfied with, and go from there.
Let me give you that. I have a new one being at the printer right now. It's going to update all the projects, okay, and what's going on.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do with the PLA. Now, the other thing that we have is the local law establishing a construction apprenticeship. This is from 2015. For agreements for certain bridge contracts in excess of $500,000.
Yeah.
What is the thought process on this?
That one's working perfectly right now. I'm telling you. It's knocking a lot of unscrupulous contractors out of the box. I get a lot of complaints. The Ulster County doesn't hear it. It's funny because I get the calls from contractors that can't come here to bid. And that there's a reason why they're not coming here to bid. They're not coming here to bid because they can't find a way to cheat, okay, because they have to have an approved program. So I get calls telling me how they're going to sue the union all the time, you know, which, okay, whatever. You know, everybody's been threatened by that, right? But, you know, nothing comes out of it. Just so you know, the bridge contract, so far, we've only done one. We've done one bridge with the county so far. We're doing the Walk Hill Bridge.
Yes.
That's right. We got that all screwed up for you, right, Kenny? You know, so
yes, sir.
Yeah. I know. I got members that live there are complaining, you know, going to Albany Post and everywhere. But
yeah.
But I have D.A. Collins doing that right now. And just so you know, it worked. I'll tell you how the apprenticeship program worked on that one. We had a contractors, Eng Civil, okay? Mm-hmm. They came down out of, geez, I don't know if they're Cortland or Saratoga County.
Saratoga,
okay? They came down and they put it in, and in there they put, we have an approved apprenticeship program. I mean, that's no heavy lift for me. I call Jane Thompson, the head of the apprenticeship program for New York State. She calls me back in 6 seconds and goes, they don't have a program. I give it to Mark. Not to mention they missed the alternate bid.
Yeah, that was a bonus.
They missed the alternate bid, too, which is you can't just not have an alternate bid. You have to have an alternate bid, or it's a thrown-out. It's just a dismissal of the contract. You know, so for the county, it was they could either spin the wheel, take A or take B. You know what I mean? And that's how it worked. Now, I had Eng Civil one other time on another project, and I caught them cheating. I went there, and I would show up with the dog every morning and in a pair of sweatpants, like I live there. I walk up, I talk to everybody. They get to know me. I bring coffee. I'm taking everybody's picture, running the equipment. Now they're all running backhoes, and they're running this, and they're running that. And I'll tell you how they came in so low. What they did is misclassified the workers. Now, I get it. You have to have carpenters on the job. You're... your framing and stuff, okay? But he would take the carpenters and put them in the excavator. The minute you do that, they have to be paid the operating engineer scale for the day. So that carpenter goes from $50 an hour to $80 an hour. And that's for the day. So they misclassified the workers. When I foiled the payroll, the certified payroll, it came back, everybody was being paid $47 an hour. Then when I showed all the pictures, all the documentation, the little movie spread, guess what? Now the guy's jammed up, and now the guy's got to pay $116,000 in back wages, not to mention he gets a willful violation. So that's one. You get two willfuls in New York State, you're debarred. Okay? You can no longer bid state work. So I've got him where I need him right now. And this is what it is. He's a nice man. I spoke to him. Okay? But it still doesn't... They come down here, and they figure... Up there, we cheated all our lives and did whatever we wanted to do and, you know, falsify documents, whatever. They finally came down here figuring it's the same, and they got caught. And that's because we have that policy in effect.
All right, and I just so everybody might be aware, when we ask about the apprentice program, the chairman created this committee because this... You know, it's like on the books, there could be a, you can't ride a horse on Broadway on Sundays. Is that still a reasonable law to have? So that's what this committee is sort of doing. It's not really a gripe session.
Yeah.
But if somebody has a concern, is $1 million on a PLA? It's not being applied.
Correct.
Is it too little? That's unnecessary?
It's too little, right.
It's, well, yeah, but I'm saying even with your question on the apprentice program.
Apprenticeship program.
We're asking it because... It's sort of part of what you're here for.
Yeah, the $500,000 is a reasonable thing. We have way less a lot of other places. City of Kingston, I got $100,000. You know, and we do a lot of work through them. And there's never any problem.
You okay. Know?
Somebody will say apprentices cost too much money. Apprentice is 60-70% of a journeyman. How does he cost you money? Hmm. You know, and you're training the future guys.
They ought to get a graduation certificate.
They should get a merit badge. They get tortured, those poor guys.
They should get credit in school, as far as I'm concerned.
You want to know, that's funny you say that, because we just built a $15 million brand new training facility off of Exit 3, off of 84, which is 200 acres. So we're going to mimic our training facility that's on Exit 8 down in New Jersey. Okay, because my union controls the whole state of New Jersey and five counties up here in New York. So we're going to mimic that place. And along with that, what they did is they have an accredited college course that will be inside. John, so we talked about that. And it was funny because I said, what are you, sneaking into my meetings? That's yeah. It was funny. You brought it up to me, you know, and I said, that's funny.
Okay. Thanks. Anybody else want to chat with you guys? We're going to move it forward now. Well, you particularly are interested, and you would be too, I would think.
I stay for
the living wage. No, yeah. We moved it forward.
Okay.
But I will hope you don't go away. because whatever comes up in the other committee, we're going to take people that have a very specific, even a vested interest as well as the knowledge. I can't answer them. I happen to think it's a good idea. You heard legislator Belfiglio. He's conflicted because he thinks it's a good idea, but where do we go from here? So as it moves down the road, it might not affect your trade like this does, but it affects the people of Ulster County and
well,
their,
I think everybody
and their living wage.
50 an hour, but, you know.
60 sounds real.
You know?
So. Okay. So we'll move on. One last thing on the agenda, folks, is Resolution 276 that created the EMS Advisory Board. Now, I just want to make a point. We've invited the director.
Coordinator.
2 years in a row now. Won't come. This was created. This was created because there's a crisis, in my opinion, and everybody's, in the emergency services network. There's no volunteers. Pardon?
They're hurting for volunteers.
They're hurting badly for volunteers. I'll give you an example. In Olive, Jay and we had a meeting up in a Voiceville Inn. I could afford that place. And we invited folks down from the North Country who I met when I was up in a meeting up there who have the same problems. They came down and explained what they were doing. They couldn't make calls. There was nobody there. The training is incredible. And it's, unless you're into it, it's not a nice thing. And we have people from around the county, emergency services people. Did you come to that one, Carl? I don't know. You came
no.
to the other one.
The awards?
Yeah.
And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And anyway, so after the meeting, the town of Olive said, we don't answer 60 to 70 to 80% of our calls. And they went down the road, and they went to a paid EMS department, and they voted to override the 2.5% or 2% cap, and they're tickled pink with it. They're making all their calls, and this was something that is happening all over the county. I mean, I've had folks tell me, "We don't really have a money problem." But we just can't get volunteers. Well, so that's what this is about. And I'm just passing it on. I have been unable to get anyone to come. Because sometimes I wonder if it's even necessary anymore. What's going on, what's happening, what the reports are.
I think it's necessary because I'm constantly getting called. That in my area, in Sulphur's Kingston, you've got a for-profit EMS company, Mobile Life. And then you've got like Sopus EMS, and I get calls from Mobile Life saying that Sopus EMS is taking all calls in Kingston, and I'm like, well, how does that happen if it goes through the 911 system? Well, somebody up there in emergency management is giving it to them and not to us, or this or that, and that's been going on for years. I don't know if an EMS advisory board could fix that, but I mean that's a big problem just within my area right here.
One of the big issues between paid, volunteer, and then there's different types of volunteer ambulance corps. So there's protection. There's some that have a protection district that get taxpayer dollars from a given town or towns, and then you've got like in my town we have Walk Hill Volunteer Ambulance Corps, which has a protection district in the hamlet of Walk Hill and the surrounding area. Then you've got Shangham Valley Fire District, which is a protection district. They receive money as part of the fire department to run the EMS. And then you have the Pine Bush Volunteer Ambulance Corps, which does Crawford and Walker Valley, which bills and does not have a protection district, because once you take money from the town can control whether or not you bill the patients and how much you bill the patients and how you do the billing. So there's so many different types of volunteer services that
The end result, again, though, is out in the rural areas is a problem.
Totally, it's a problem everywhere
and
statewide.
Just to move, because I know there's another meeting going on. Manager, you had asked or suggested something about over in Dutchess County where they're working on this.
Yeah,
and Jay sent letter over requesting. information, asking for if we could talk to them. They'd like to come over and visit us. And we have not received anything back. I did get...
I'll call Mark.
She did say that you had said, well, maybe I should call the executive. I'm not calling the executive. You know,
well, you know
the,
we should
the,
just stop passing any funding through the department until they come to our committee, until they come to the committee meeting.
I'll call Mark.
The main thing that I got in when it was presented to me was that because of the problem of volunteerism and people not getting their calls answered, they're in an emergency situation and they can't get help, that they formed what sounds like a very active and effective task force. And honestly, when I brought that up, I didn't remember this resolution. I'm trying to calculate whether I was here when it was passed or not.
I think so.
But you have appointed the task force and they're not meeting? Is that the...
The task force has not been meeting, I think, from before I became chairman. Lou Klein had decided, Lou was the chairman, and...
And it was appointed, but it has not been actively meeting.
No, it hasn't been.
Yeah, so we have to figure out what to do about that. But I was really impressed with the enthusiasm for in Dutchess.
A commission?
Yeah, yeah.
Some form of a shared services between the different kinds, and that there is better coordination and less wait time or missed, you know, like there's nobody to answer a call. So, if we can figure out a way to work on that, if they can help us, that'd be great. I think you found some of the minutes. I think you circulated some of the minutes from their meeting. Or was that something else? I thought
here's the stuff that we got, the task force or whatever.
Okay. From Dutchess.
Certainly it's something that I've been pretty interested in. But sometimes, when nothing happens, you start to wonder what the hell's going on. I mean, we had one success in Ulster County that I know of. And now so all of a sudden it seems to have disappeared. Having said that, any other for the good of the order? Because I see there's going to be another meeting. A move to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Discussion? Favor?
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.